Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Compliance Week News Podcast for the week of Tuesday, April 26th. I'm Tammy Whitehouse, accounting and auditing reporter for Compliance Week, and today we have a special treat, an interview with Jay Hansen, one of the newest members of the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board. Jay joined the PCAOB in January after 32 years at McGladrey & Pullen, most recently as National Director of Accounting and leader of the firm's Accounting Standards Group. He also served as a member of the Emerging Issues Task Force of the Financial Accounting Standards Board and as a member of the Financial Reporting Executive Committee of the AICPA. Jay, thanks for taking some time to talk with us today.
Thanks, Tammy.
All right, Jay, you heard a lot from investors recently that the PCAOB needs to do a little more to investigate why we witnessed so many busted audits through the financial crisis. We saw cases where major public companies failed or needed bailouts following clean audit opinions. What is the PCAOB doing to address this?
Great question, Tammy. We've got a number of things that we are working on and some things that we've already been doing in the past. One of the things that we do to make sure that everyone is aware of the findings that we have when we look at the different firms' audits is we publish both staff alerts and then a report that we call our 40-10 report, but the official title is Report on Observations of PCAOB Inspections Related to Audit Risk Areas Affected by the Economic Crisis. And as you might expect, some of the challenging areas that that auditors face and preparers and management face are related to fair value, impairment, the allowance for loan losses and doubtful accounts, some of the off-balance sheet challenges, as well as some of the things that have been around for many years, revenue recognition and income taxes, to name just a couple more. We are always on the alert for things in the news about particular companies, especially the largest companies in America, and we screen those things that we see in the news and have other sources, our tip line, et cetera. And occasionally we do actually go back in and look at audits that we've previously looked at. So we don't, in any given audit that we look at, we don't look at the entire audit. We just look at the selected risk areas that we are concerned about. We've got a couple projects going on that are more directly related to the companies that are facing failure. And one of those is the project related to the going concern auditor's opinion. And it's been something that has been around for many years, but we're looking at the guidance and trying to make sure that it's up to date in today's environment. And we know the FASB is working on a project related to going concern, and so we're working with them as well. But one thing to remember is just because a business failed, that doesn't necessarily mean there was a bad audit. So bad management or bad business model might not mean that the numbers were bad. And so under today's model, the auditors opine on the fairness of the presentation of the financial statements. And so the financial statements may have been perfectly fine, but the business still failed.
Well, investors are looking for more information from auditors about what the auditors are actually doing during the audit, what they see, what they test, what they think of a management assertions. But the auditors seem resistant to that. Why is that? And what is the PCAOB doing to address that concern?
Well, addressing your last question first, we do have a project underway related to the auditor's reporting model, and it is crystal clear that investors are wanting more information. It's less clear about do they really want that information from management, or would getting it from the audit committee or the auditor be the right way. It's a significant question, but we're hearing from some investors that they really want to hear more from the auditor. So we are going to issue a concept release on this, hopefully by the end of June of this year, and then work towards a final standard. The auditor's resistance, I've had lots of discussions with lots of auditors about this, and part of it is just the practical part, that if we move right from where we have right now of just what some call the pass-fail model, just a simple statement that the financial statements present fairly, to the far reaches of what some are calling for the auditor's report, which some are calling the auditor's discussion and analysis, so it would be similar to management's discussion and analysis. Practically, that's just a very difficult thing to actually do, to have thousands of individual auditors out there writing things like that auditor discussion analysis in a free-form manner. So the firms feel like they would have to actually maybe engage some lawyers to help them write that, because fundamentally the management discussion analysis is written by lawyers. There's also, of course, the litigation risk. You hear that with every standard. And there's also the fundamental question of what really is the role of the auditor beyond reporting on the numbers, and also the fundamental question of if investors need more information, where should that come from? The traditional model has been management produces the information, the auditors give some assurance on it. So those are the biggest things. But in my discussions with the leaders of the major firms, and we've had some very frank discussions about this, they all get it, that something is going to change, and I've really encouraged them to get on board with it and be proactive in coming up with solutions, not just criticizing the things that we do. And they are all, from my discussions, getting it and willing to set forth some things that they think would be good solutions to the problem that are actually doable in a reasonable time period.
Okay. Let's talk about enforcement a little bit. I see the PCAOB recently sanctioned some PwC affiliates in India related to their audit work for Sachem. What's the takeaway for auditors in those actions?
Well, it was our first major sanction against a non-U.S. firm, and so the sanction included a fine. Several of the individual auditors that were not cooperative were essentially barred from performing work for public companies and being registered with the PCAOB. We are requiring them to completely revise their systems from their people to their processes to their supervision to their training, their review, and actually put a monitor in place for a period of time to make sure they're actually doing that. And so this order, it really goes beyond the firm's specific audit practices in that that for all firms that operate in any international space or non-U.S. space, it highlights some of the challenges they face in auditing and some of the cultural issues that for example, simple things like sending confirmation letters to banks, that's not so easy in many, many countries. And so the main message to all auditors is the need to exercise professionalism, skepticism, objectivity, and keep the investors first in their minds when they're doing their audit work.
Okay. Well, I know you have the attention of auditors a lot of times with these issues, but what about corporate executives? Why should CEOs, for example, CFOs, even audit committee members pay more attention to what the PCAOB is doing these days?
Well, there's a couple of fronts on the kind of on the ground front of being concerned if your auditor is being looked at by the PCAOB and your individual company's company audits being looked at. If I were a CFO or audit committee member, I'd want to know that, because if there are questions being raised, I'd want to hear about that, and in the end, if there is a finding, either something that results in what we call the part one of our inspection reports as an audit failure, I think that management and the audit committee definitely deserves to know about that, as well as just other questions that were raised. As I mentioned earlier, if there's one of these areas that involve accounting, that is something that we would let the SEC know about if there was a problem that we thought the accounting was wrong. And if I were a CFO and I knew that the SEC was being told about an accounting issue on my company, I'd want to proactively manage that process as opposed to just be reactive and wait for a comment letter. So many of the areas that we focus on are the same areas that management is struggling with and same areas that the SEC just generally writes comments on. So being proactive with understanding what's being raised by us in our inspection is very important. On a broader scale, following some of the projects that we have in the works, for example, the one I just mentioned related to the auditor's report, that's going to be a pretty far-reaching project, and it will add cost to an audit. And we're hearing from some investors essentially an attitude of, well, so be it. If it adds cost, that's worth it to us. Yet other investors are saying, well, I'm not so sure that I want to do it if it's going to add much cost. And so following the projects and trying to understand with your auditors what kind of effect it would have on your audit, and actually writing comment letters on some of the projects that we propose and following them. And most importantly, though, is to the extent that management has good relationships with the investors themselves or the analysts to make sure that they are informed and stay on top of the projects and that management encourages the investors to follow the projects and comment if appropriate, because we really want to hear on any of these projects we propose a broad range of investor views so that we're not only hearing one side or the other, but we're hearing a broad range. And finally, the some of the public meetings we have, both our open board meetings as well as our standing advisory group, which meets 2 to 3 times a year, as well as our investor advisory group, tuning in to listen to those meetings or the archive webcasts is a great way to stay on top of what we're doing.
Well, just a quick follow-up to what you just said as far as why corporate executives should be concerned about what's going on. It is hard for corporate executives to know what kind of actions are being taken against their auditors these days, is it not, given the privacy around the enforcement process?
Yeah, it is, both the inspection process and the enforcement process. I know the major firms resist telling their clients anything about it, but I think CFO should keep asking. And relative to the enforcement, that's a topic that the proceedings by law are quiet until they're done. And there's some controversial things that we've suggested, including that Congress should consider amending that to make those proceedings public the same way that SEC enforcement proceedings are public. And we know there's going to be a lot of resistance to that because it's just the firms don't want to let that be public. But several here on our board feel strongly that should not be the case anymore.
All right, Jay. Well, that's all the time we have today, but you certainly covered plenty of ground, so we thank you very much for your time. That was Jay Hansen of the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board talking with us today about some of the issues the PCAOB is addressing as it moves forward with its oversight of the auditing profession. If you'd like to hear more of Jay's views, don't forget that he'll be one of our keynote speakers at our Compliance Week 2011 conference. The conference will be held in Washington, D.C. on May 23rd through May 25th, and it's one of the best opportunities of the year for you to meet with your peers and discuss all your compliance, auditing, and risk management issues of the day. If you'd like to register or see our full agenda, simply visit our website at conference.complianceweek.com. So that's all for this week's podcast. I'm Tammy Whitehouse of Compliance Week. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next time.